This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo, good morning, brother.
Man, it is good to have you back in the studio.
Dude, I know. This is like one of the last times we'll get to see each other before Christmas.
I know, right? This is crazy.
I got a little weeping in my eye, but we've had a great year. It's been a lot of fun.
It really has, man. This has been it's been an awesome year. It's an awesome holiday season.
Yeah.
Tim, the intern, stopped by the studio earlier this week.
Excellent
job.
Tiny Tim.
Tim.
He did a great job.
Just in time for Christmas. We bring you Tiny Tim from
That's
the Square.
That's right.
had a lot of fun with him, man. He did really well. Raising him up to be quite the tobacconist.
I hope so. You got to take folks under your wings, regardless of how desperate you think the cause is, or how hopeless it is. And occasionally it works out. Now Timothy has been, such a great. He's just a great person, first and foremost, and that's so much of why I love the tobacco industry, particularly the pipe industry, is because you just make great friends.
Oh yeah,
and it's all about community and. Our burnt offerings are just a small part of it. So.
You know, Tolkien has inspired many people to do many things, and we're really excited because on this show today, we actually have a guest host. You know, typically we've done interviews in the past. Well, this time we actually have a guest host because we're going to be talking about a subject matter that we thought, you know, you and I are knowledgeable, but we're not experts.
Not experts. We
found the expert when it comes to Tolkien and the world of Lord of the Rings and Middle Earth. So so get ready. This is going to be awesome.
I'm excited.
All right. And we are joined today by Kirsten Cairns, stage director, public speaker, singer, veteran of the stage, opera, music, theater, traditional music, all about. But the reason that we have her here on today is she's actually senior staffer for the OneRing.net, writer and contributor over there. Kirsten, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So before we get started into what our topic is today, tell us a little bit about how you discovered Tolkien, how you got involved in that universe and that fandom.
Well, my first exposure to Tolkien was when I was very young. I have two older brothers, and my dad was reading The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings to my older brothers. And really, I was too young to get much out of it, but I still insisted on sitting in and listening in when they were being read this. And I remember seeing the Ralph Bakshi animated movie of Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, that was a classic.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and I was absolutely terrified of the ring wraiths in that. So that sort of began it, and then I was a big fan when I was sort of 6 or 7 of the Rankin Bass animated Hobbit.
Yes.
And it sort of went on from there. But I discovered the OneRing.net, the website, when the Peter Jackson films were first coming out, the Lord of the Rings movies. And, I loved those films. The first film came out and I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And sort of late one night I was messing around online and sort of looking up stuff about the film, and I stumbled across theonering.net.
Yeah.
And, you know, went on from there.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, you mentioned those old animated movies. I think the for me personally, The Animated Hobbit is just one of my favorite films. I think they made The Lord of the Rings, if I'm recalling correctly, after The Hobbit. And
That Animated Hobbit was so powerful in my childhood. Yeah. I have so many memories of watching that, particularly at my grandmother's house. Like, and there were parts of it I'd be terrified and have to go find someone.
It was kind
of
scary when you were a younger kid, right?
It was great. Yeah.
I didn't actually see the film very much. When I was young, we were living out in the Middle East for a while, and I didn't have a copy of the film, but my brother had an LP from the Rankin-Bass Hobbit movie with a sort of read-along book.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That had images of the cartoon, and so you could listen to the soundtrack of the cartoon and read the book along, and I was just addicted to that.
That's cool. Can you tell us a little bit more about the OneRing.net, just kind of what the site is about and
what
y'all do?
Yeah, well, it's the sort of catchphrase of the site is forged by and for fans of J.R.R. Tolkien.
That's great.
And they really are. They're the biggest Tolkien fan site out there. It's a huge site with a very sort of wide reach. It's been around since 1999, so it's also in website terms a very early website.
Ancient,
right? It's one of the first, if not the first.
Yeah, exactly. And it was founded by four folks who got together via the internet. You know, one of them was in New Zealand, a couple of them in America, one in Canada, and they got together to set up the website. And it's always been about bringing the news and rumors to fans and sharing the passion. And, you know, the great thing about the OneRing.net is that it's all volunteer. Nobody gets paid. So people like me who are senior staff, we do a lot of work, but nobody makes a penny.
That's
And it keeps the website sort of true to being about fans and about creating opportunities for fans to connect and to get together and to share their passion.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful.
One thing that we're passionate about here is definitely Tolkien, and that spills over into our other passion, which is pipe tobacco.
That's right.
Now, tell us a little bit about your history with pipe tobacco.
Well, I'm not a pipe smoker myself.
Right, right.
We do have a few lady pipe smokers, though, and I think we have some listeners that are, but yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I actually have a friend, I have a couple of female friends who are sort of cigar and pipe smokers, but being a singer, I've never been a smoker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, but my dad was a pipe smoker. And so I grew up all through my childhood with the pipe sort of being a very comforting part of settling down to read a book with my dad or settling down on a Sunday afternoon. Or, you know, it was always that very sort of soothing thing that pipe came out and it was relaxation time and, you know, that quality that of a pipe being about sort of time for reflection and time for quiet and calm. That was very much part of my childhood. Hmm.
Did he have a specific pipe that he would go to, or did he have a pipe collection?
He had a lot of different pipes. He had a pipe rack that looked like a garden gate, a sort of old farm gate.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And he had a lot of different pipes on there. He definitely had one or two that were favorites. I remember one time we were in France and he lost one of his pipes, and that was, you know, a catastrophe.
Right.
But there were various different pipes, a couple of which he'd inherited. In fact, interestingly, his first pipe was given to him when he was 16 by his parents.
Wow.
And it seems very odd now, but they actually sort of encouraged him to take up pipe smoking.
Sure, yeah, sure.
I do that every day.
Well, and this was primarily because they, again, sort of ahead of their time in a way, they felt that cigarettes were more harmful, which of course...
Absolutely.
They are.
They are.
Right.
And so they said to him, look, if you're going to take up smoking, we think you should smoke this, not cigarettes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had that pipe for a long time, and then he had a couple that had been given to him by, you know, his grandfather or so a mixture of them. He used to smoke St. Bruno tobacco most of the time. And I remember when I was learning to read, I had little bits of card with words on that I was learning, and I kept them in a tobacco tin, and it had that wonderful smell of the tobacco. That's very evocative of certain times in my childhood.
That's wonderful.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Well, we are here today to talk about the blending of tobacco in the world of Tolkien. Tolkien himself was very much a pipe smoker, tobacco fan.
Right.
And so much so that he incorporated it throughout the his works, throughout the Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Silmarillion. What we wanted to talk a little bit about what tobacco is in universe, if you will, in Middle Earth. And though JD and myself are very much fans, we wanted to bring in an expert. So
that's right.
Tell us a little bit about Old Toby.
Yeah, well, it's interesting actually because when you talk about tobacco, in The Hobbit, which of course was the first book that Tolkien wrote of the Middle Earth tales, he does refer to it as tobacco. By the time he was writing Lord of the Rings, he generally refers to it as pipeweed.
Pipeweed, right.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So that the word is more in keeping with the language realm of Middle Earth.
Right.
He does that a lot when he transitions from The Hobbit to Lord of the Rings, I've noticed too. There's almost like more of a familiarity with The Hobbit and references to things like golf and other, you know, other real world things. And then when you get to Lord of the Rings, it's more fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was much further into the mindset of the world that he was creating by the time he was writing Lord of the Rings. Yeah. He, you know, sort of delved further into it, expanded it further, and I feel in a way had a greater understanding himself of what, you know, what that world was and what that language was, and so it, you know, you're absolutely right, it becomes more distanced from real world. But yeah, you know, pipeweed in the Shire, it's Old Toby is named from Tobold Hornblower, who was the hobbit who first grew and developed pipeweed.
Wow.
So it is believed that the plant was brought to Middle-earth by the Numenoreans, so that it came out of the West with the Numenoreans. And supposedly it grows wild in Gondor, down in the South.
I knew I liked Gondor.
Didn't smoke it. Hobbits were the first to develop the idea of smoking it. Mm. So the Gondorians loved the plant for its sweet-smelling flowers. And then, you know, at some point or other, nobody knows exactly when, it traveled up the Greenway and began to be planted in the north. And it was the Hobbits of Bree in the Bree area claim that they first smoked it, but it certainly was Hobbits who first had the idea of smoking it. And Tobold Hornblower was one who cultivated it in the Longbottom area of the Shire in the South Farthing.
That's fascinating.
So you get the pipeweed that's called Old Toby for him, and the other famous one is Longbottom Leaf that we encounter in Peter Jackson's movie, where they talk about Longbottom Leaf from the finest pipeweed.
That's right. And actually, in the deleted scenes, I think this is right, in the deleted scenes in the Two Towers scene, where Merry and Pippin are actually raiding Saruman's Stockhold, and there's a barrel that actually says Old Toby on it.
Right.
We did a villains a Halloween episode where we talked about pipe smoking villains, and we talked about how Saruman was actually, you know, the implications of the fact that he not only had pipe tobacco, but he actually had Old Toby means that there was trade going on between Isengard and the Shire. How you know, deep the reach of evil has gotten at that point. But I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that the plant was actually brought over by what were they called again?
The Numenoreans, the men of the West from Numenor, from the, you know, the island to the west of Middle Earth that was within sight of the Isle of the Valar.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it kind of, the hobbits, like you said, were the first one to kind of discover and desire the the aromatic qualities of the tobacco or the leaf, and that fits quite well with kind of their almost hedonistic, like, you know, just pleasant little lives and, you know, big meals and lots of partying and sleeping and all this kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. But also, I think, you know, hobbits, anything that they do, they like to do it well.
Right.
And sort of to the nth degree. So, you know, if they're gardeners, they're absolutely passionate about their gardens. They're passionate about eating. They're passionate about brewing ale, and they're passionate about their pipe smoking. And, you know, I love that, The hobbits refer to it as an art. It's, you know, it's not something you just do. It's an art form, the smoking of a good pipe.
Mm.
And, you know, there's this sense that when Gandalf, for example, takes up pipeweed, he makes sure that he's really good at it. If anyone's going to blow smoke rings, Gandalf's going to blow the best smoke rings. And he really adopts it as an art form as well. I love that. I think, you know, Tolkien himself had a great regard for the art of smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
And that's really reflected in the way that he writes about it.
Yeah, it was obviously very important to him for him to include it to the degree that he did in his work.
Well, and it's seen as being something that's, I mean, in the current movies, in the Hobbit movies, in the first one, there's that moment where Radagast comes looking for Gandalf and he finds him and he's in an absolute panic because of what he's seen in Dol Guldur.
Right.
And Gandalf says to him, try a bit of old Toby, it'll clear your mind. And he, you know, and Radagast takes a long draw on Gandalf's pipe and then sort of calms down a bit. And there's also a bit, I think it's in one of the unfinished tales, where a bit about the White Council, where Gandalf makes a comment to Saruman about that pipe reading is very good for clearing the mind and for helping you to listen to things with more patience.
He does, and I love that.
Yeah, I think for, you can imagine Tolkien in his study, that for him the pipe, the smoking, was part of his reflective process, his creative process, his very thoughtful process. And, right. And you know, he makes that clear that he feels it sort of clears the mind and calms you down.
I think he even says it helps you tolerate the Council of Idiots or something.
Right.
You know, I wonder with Tolkien so much, you know, he you can see that he takes some of his philosophy, but also some of his personality, and puts it into various characters. You know, do you think that maybe Gandalf is kind of his, you know, kind of his primary vessel for you know, putting himself in Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. I personally don't feel that he really put himself to any one character.
Yeah.
You know, he was so meticulous about trying to create a whole world, and he's, you know, he was very outspoken about disliking allegory in stories, and that he was determined that his tale would not be allegorical. I mean, it is, regardless of whether he wanted it to be or not.
Right.
But I think he is someone who actually probably, I think his writing reflects very much his passions, but I feel that he would have tried to avoid the notion of writing himself into the tale. Yeah, particularly because of his desire to create it as a believable mythology. And clearly that would detract from the believability of it if he put himself into it. So, but I do think that we see elements of the things that mattered to him and that he cared about,
right,
throughout Middle-earth.
Right.
So this is probably a dumb question, but have you seen The Desolation of Smaug?
I have seen it. I've seen it a couple of times, actually. You know, and you know, we have to learn to say Smaug.
Smaug.
Actually, yeah. I've been very good.
That's right. I have to compliment Bo. He's been very faithful on that.
Well, we all say Smaug, but strictly speaking, according to Tolkien, the AU is owl like in Sauron. So Peter Jackson and his gang are being accurate with Smaug, but I'm still having a hard time with it.
Well, I think they did themselves a good move in the one of the first trailers for the movie, where, you know, Bilbo is sitting there and he's like, I came to tremble at your stupendousness, O Smaug. And it was like, okay, all right, everybody now knows how to pronounce it. So,
Exactly. But yes, I have seen it. I've seen it a couple of times and enjoyed it enormously. Have you gents seen it?
I have. JD is still, he's got it on his to-do list.
I have not. I you know, just working in retail and, man, I'm covered up, but I'm looking towards January. I can't wait.
Good.
I mean, it's a beautiful movie. We were talking about some of the differences between the book and the movies, and it's been kind of baffling to me to see some of the people that will complain online saying like, oh, Peter Jackson put all this extra stuff in, he didn't have to do that. And I was like, well, he didn't have to, but you get more for your money now. And it looks beautiful, you know? But I've enjoyed it tremendously.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't please all of the people all of the time.
Very true.
And it's something that we talk about quite a lot on the OneRing.net. Of course, there are a lot of book purists out there who really hate anything being added. Some of our staff are sort of dismayed, and a lot of our staff absolutely love the films. And, you know, I mean, you can't argue with the figures that the first Hobbit movie grossed over $1 billion.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know, people love it. But you know, I can see why some people say, oh, but it's not the book that I knew and loved. But I don't feel like that myself, because I feel personally that everything that Peter Jackson adds is still in the spirit of.
Right. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's just taking what's there and enhancing it for a visual experience.
That's right.
Yeah, I was talking a few weeks ago with Richard Armitage, who plays Thar in Oakenshield, and I was asking him how he feels about, you know, this sort of schism that there is in fans who say you shouldn't change a word, and then the fans who love the films. And he said, well, it's really just like the retelling of a folk tale. You're telling the same story, but you tell it yourself, and you're sort of riffing on a theme. And that's what Peter Jackson's doing. He's telling a story he loves, and as he tells it, he digresses a bit and expands on an idea or a theme or a character. And I think, you know, I think Richard had a very good way of putting it there, because I think everything Peter Jackson does stems from his love of Tolkien, but it overflows into these sort of wonderful new ideas.
Absolutely. And there's that great scene in An Unexpected Journey where Gandalf even says, you know, he says something to the extent of all the great tales enjoy a little bit of embellishment or something of that nature.
Yeah, they grow in the telling.
Yeah,
that's what he says. All tales grow in the telling.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly right, you know. And I mean, the latest movie is just a great adventure. It's a real roller coaster ride from start to finish. And, you know, there are one or two things where I think, I don't think I'd have gone that way with the story. But then that's the delight of everybody having their own creative take on something.
That's right. That's right. I've got one more question. I'd be just ashamed of myself if I didn't ask this. But do you know the characteristics of the tobacco that they smoked in the books?
I really don't, except that it's clearly a tobacco that had very fragrant flowers, because they talk about that the men of Gondor called it Sweet Galenus because of the fragrance of it.
Sweet Galenus. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The tobacco that grows wild in Gondor, so in the south of Middle-earth, is supposed to be a bigger leafed tobacco.
Okay.
And where it grows in the Shire, it only grows in more sheltered areas where it's cultivated, and it's a smaller leaf there. And really, that's all I know about the different qualities of it. I'm not aware, and, you know, somebody may well know more on this than I do, but I'm not aware of anywhere where Tolkien talks about the sort of flavor or smoothness of the pipe reed of the Shire, or, you know.
Right.
They all seem to smoke. Certainly in Peter Jackson's films, they all smoke with very, very long pipes.
Right.
Church
ones. Very tall bowls, which is one of the things that always slightly frustrates me in films, that they have these tiny bowls on their pipes and then they hold them by the bowl. And when I was a kid, I always thought, you know, holding the pipe by the bowl was very distinguished looking. And once tried to do that with one of my dad's pipes and, of course, burnt my fingers.
Yeah, it burned up real quick.
That's right.
So, you know, if it hasn't got a big enough bowl, you can't hold it by the bowl. But you always, in films, you always see people holding it that way. And you think, that's going to hurt.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Well, Kirsten, we greatly appreciate you coming on today and chatting with us about old Toby and Tolkien. Like I said, it's a love of ours. And I mean, man, Tolkien in some form or fashion makes an appearance in every single episode, it seems.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to bring in an expert to talk about this subject and just kind of geek out a little bit on the movies.
Absolutely. I'm on cloud nine right now, Kirsten.
It's been a great pleasure to chat with you gentlemen.
It's wonderful. And please be sure, everyone, to go to theonering.net. Just a vast resource. You know, even if Tolkien is kind of on the periphery, but you've enjoyed the movies, I mean, it's just a great opportunity to learn more about the universe that the author created.
And Kirsten, how can our listeners follow you?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter. I tweet as Kirsten Z. Cairns, so my middle initial is in there. They can follow The One Ring on Facebook. And if they look out for me on theonering.net, my name there is Green Dragon. So if they're looking at theonering.net and they see any stories posted by Green Dragon or posted on theonering.net's Facebook page, then that's me.
Oh, wonderful. Kirsten, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, gentlemen, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week.
And the pipe question of the week this week comes in from Ipong. He says, "Hi there, guys. You already have a fan from Indonesia."
Man, that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
"I've been listening to your radio show recently. Nice show, guys. Always interesting, very informative, and fun, too. I've got one question. Do you inhale while you smoke your pipe? Thanks for your time. And you guys are doing a great job. P.S. My girlfriend thinks JD has got a sexy voice."
Ipung, your girlfriend has just made my week. Trust me, though, there's no infringement. I pose no threat to you, but tell her that is very kind.
It's funny. I read that email when I got it in, or the Facebook message when I got it in, out loud to my wife, and she was like, "Well, you have a sexy voice too." I was like, "Thanks,
you,
hon.
You too, Bo. You too." That's really awesome.
It's a great question, Ipong. We've talked before in the past about, you know, best practices here, but for us personally, I don't know that we've really dived into that. So, I think I've gone on record, but I'll restate it.
Yeah.
I personally don't inhale. I try not to.
Right.
You know, sometimes you're just going to, but when it comes to intentions, my intention is not necessarily to inhale.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how most pipe smokers approach it, right? I mean, the smoke is just so much heavier than a cigarette or you know, anything similar. You know, most pipe smokers are going into it thinking, okay, I'm not inhaling this. You're more picking up the aromas. You're obviously getting some nicotine just with the contact of the smoke through your mouth, and if you kind of breathe it out your nose, that kind of thing. But you don't have to inhale doing that. And you know, so most pipe smokers don't. There are some of us though that do a little bit. You know, and it's like I said, it's too thick to really smoke, kind of like a cigarette. But a lot of folks, and I do this occasionally, will just, you know, after four or five puffs, you know, they might take just a little of an inhale just to kind of get some more of the flavor and that type of thing. But you know, but most people go into smoking their pipe without inhaling. Yeah.
Great question, Ipong. We greatly appreciate that. And if you'd like to send in a quick fire question and your girlfriend thinks that JD's voice is sexy, email us csr@podastery.com, or you could send it to the Facebook through the Facebook page like Ipong did. We greatly appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Thanks.
Quick fire with the squire.
Go
lock and load.
Here we go.
Questions today come from Garrett Mayen. He says, thanks guys, love the podcast. Here we go. Checkers or chess?
Chess.
Yeah,
300% chess. Absolutely. We've got a huge chess board in our shop.
That thing is good. We were talking about having
Barry on.
Yeah, we were talking about Barry earlier. Yeah,
Barry
in the program.
Carved that chess set, as a matter of fact.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's stunning.
Bagel or English muffin?
I gotta go with bagel.
Yeah, I don't like the texture of English muffins.
But see, my deal, it's less the bagel and more a vehicle for the cream cheese.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I just like cream cheese.
Well, if you get like a bagel that's like a cinnamon swirl, you know, when it's actually got some flavor to it, then I'm all about that.
Yeah.
But even still, I still put the cream cheese.
But whenever they make an everything bagel that's got like the, you know, 48 ingredients on it, I just think... something in me thinks there's like a tear in the universe somewhere when they do that. I just, that's a little too much for me to handle.
good deal. And last but not least, fried or grilled?
Oh gosh, that's not even fair. I mean, in the South, look, I mean, we get it. We know it's like self-loathing, right? But we like our fried food, man. I mean, I'm going to pull for fried okra over like grilled okra.
Okay. Well, if you're talking about okra, then I'm with you. But
right.
You're talking about,
there's so many foods that are good grilled. There really are.
Yeah, I've got to go grilled, man. Because and it's not that I don't like fried food, but my wife,
we eat way too much of it.
Yeah, my wife has broken me from fried food.
That's good.
She's very she's almost anti meat. She's not anti meat, but she's almost anti meat. But she's definitely anti fried food.
Yeah.
And so she has taught me to appreciate food that has normally been fried and not fried format.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff.
There are some things that I just won't compromise on, though. Like, if you give me catfish, don't give me your baked or grilled catfish. Like, forget that. I want a fried fillet of catfish.
All right, so here's the thing with catfish.
Right.
I'm right there with you. It's so much better fried.
Right.
But because of the home policy.
The old home policy. Right. Yeah, there are some foods that are great grilled, though. Those are great questions. Thank you, Garrett.
Your thoughts? Your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week. We've got a wonderful iTunes review. It comes to us from JD Magic 7. This is one of my favorite podcasts. I wait each week to listen to these guys talk. It also led me to order some blends from the Squire. Not only are they among my favorite blends, but the handwritten note from John David ensures I'll be a lifelong customer. Keep up the good work, guys.
Man. That's really kind. Yeah. We referenced this earlier in our show, but so much of the joy, at least we at the Squire get from what we do, is just the community that we build. So, man, very humbled by your compliment. Thank you. And we're just tickled that, you know, we've made so many great new friends through this medium. And this year has been fantastic through that. I was just conversing yesterday with a new friend of ours outside of Seattle, and you know, he found out about us through Podastery and through the show. And man, it was just awesome. Very, 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 very grateful. And thanks for your feedback.
And if you'd like to send us feedback, you can do so. iTunes reviews are the best way to do it.
We really appreciate that.
Those are huge. We really, really think those are great.
Yep.
Also, you can email the show, csr@podastery.com. And on Twitter, I'm @TheRealBoYork.
And I'm @JohnDavidCole. John has no H.
And the store is @_CountrySquire.
That's right.
And then, of course, our Facebook page. Just look for Country Squire Radio on Facebook. Like us. We know there's a lot of you guys who have not liked the show because we get a lot of great, wonderful download numbers, but we've only got like 50 or so likes on Facebook. There's some fun stuff. We put up some fun pictures and put some questions out every once in a while. So y'all be sure to like the Facebook page and get a little added benefit from the show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, last but not least, we mentioned it last episode. You're getting this episode this week. This is kind of a weird thing.
That's right.
It's our holiday.
Yeah,
we're
doing a little
schedule.
It's almost like the several days of Christmas or, you know, Advent.
Kind of like that, yeah. but you're getting two full episodes this week. Next week will be Christmas, and we'll have a little Christmas happy, so to speak.
That's
we'll
right.
Put out for you guys. I'm really excited about that.
Yep.
And I don't want to spoil it, but you'll want to check your MP3 player. Check it out. So we really appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hope you all have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy
to
holidays
absolutely.
To all y'all. It's just going to be it's going to be a great year.
It is. We've been really fortunate again, you know, just to interact with so many of y'all over the past several months that Bo and I have done this. And man, we're just fired up to have done this. We're really looking forward to 2014.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, JD.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.